Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. Amen. It's Friday again, what we call Freedom Friday. Another week has passed, another long week in the Hernandez clan, but God is faithful, God is merciful, and God is good. He's the reason why I could put a smile on my face, because He has helped me, has helped us, and we have been able to endure many things because He is faithful. Amen. And amen to that. We are in Proverbs 13 this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, thank you, thank you, because you have brought us through, oh Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Father, for this morning, for waking us up, Father God. Speak to our hearts this morning through your word, Father. Let it be you and not me, oh Lord God. I thank you in advance for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are about to do in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our community, oh Lord God, and around the world. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, He is good. All right, let's get right into this word this morning before my time flies again. Okay, we are in Proverbs 13, and the word of God says, a wise man heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of an unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made rich. 5. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him, whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. 7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, for he who gathers by labor will increase. 12. Hope defers makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. 17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings help. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, for he who regards Reebok will be honored. 19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. 21, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children, for the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. 23, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. For the lack of justice, there is waste. 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, for he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, as you read this word, it's just, you know, Proverbs is a book that has a lot of nuggets, a lot of little teachings on it. It said, you know, he emphasized the benefit, you know, Proverbs 13, the benefit of wisdom, diligence, and righteous living. You know, while highlighting the consequences of foolishness, laziness, and dishonesty. So it's giving you the good side and it's giving you the negative side. You know, he explores the themes like the power of words, the importance of discipline, the value of hard work, and the impact of integrity. So it has so much to offer. You know, this chapter aims the reader towards a life of purpose, prosperity, and favor with God. You know, you can learn so much from all this nugget. And I'm not going to touch every single one of these verses because we can be here forever, you know, with all that much information. So let's start with verse 1. You know, it goes into a wise man heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to Reebok. You know, we should listen to those who are over us. You know, we should listen to them because, you know, for they are here, you know, to help us. You know, as parents, you know, we want the best for our children, but sometimes that may feel that we want to control them. They may feel that you want to control them, but we want the best, you know, for every single one of our children. We want to instruct them in the right way. In 1 Samuel 2:25, he says, if one sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they do not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desires to kill them. I read this, and when I got to the bottom portion, it said, the Lord desires to kill them, the ones who do not listen, the ones who are in rebellion, the ones who just do not heed the voice of the Father. And that's a teaching right there in itself, that we need to be careful that we listen to those who are over us. And at times that might be hard to do, especially if you come from broken homes and you got stepmoms and stepdads and so on and so forth. But God has a way of blessing us no matter where we at. In the book of Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. It talks about honoring those, you know, who are above us. In Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, you know, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of promise. It is the first commandment. So along with this word of honoring them, there is a promise. You know, what is the promise that they're talking about? They're talking about long life. They're talking about, you know, victorious life. Because back in Ephesians 6, 3, it says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, live long on the earth. Some, a lot of times, you know, we are our worst enemies when we don't do the right thing. And as children, you know, which we were all at one time, and I'm still a child for my dad. You know, he's my stepdad, but I don't call him that. I call him dad. You know, he is my elder, and I will respect him. And I, as you know, as a 60 something year old man, I will go over there and I'll say, "Dad, bless me," which is a custom in the Spanish culture, that you will approach those who are above you, and when you greet them, you will say, "Bless me." Yeah, in English, it doesn't sound, you know, like, I can't do that. But in the Spanish culture, it is something that we grew up with, that we always say bendición or bless me. And the parent or the guardian will give you a hug, give you a kiss, and bless you. And will say, "God bless you." So it is a endearment. It is a sign of respect. It is a sign of honor. So it tells the child here, a wise man heeds his father's instruction. A wise son. I'm not talking so much about a kid, but a wise son. You know, so if you have wisdom, you will listen. You will listen and try to obey. Come on now, try to obey, even though it's hard sometimes. Even though it's hard sometimes, but that's what the word of the Lord says. And from there, let's go into verse 3. It says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Oh, man. That's a hard one for somebody that likes to gossip. For somebody that likes to make stories or tell stories, that's a hard one. But it says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life." I always say, if you don't have nothing good to say, say nothing. You know, and it's also something that's difficult to do sometimes, especially at the moment when somebody gets you upset, at the moment when someone angers you. You know, and I know that we are all Christians and we are holier than thou and all that. But, you know, somebody pulls up in front of you and the car, and you slam your brake and you move and you juggle back and forth. You know, the first thing sometimes about a father is like, "Hey, what's going on? Hey, are you, you know, you, you know," and maybe you have some colorful words might come out of that moment. But, you know, we have to make sure that we guard ourselves, that we don't say anything that we shouldn't say. In Psalms 39:1, it says, "I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muscle." Come on now, with a muscle, "while the wicked are before me." In other words, you know, you just cover your mouth. You know, you go, "Let me not say nothing." Because you know why? Because at a moment of anger, we can say the wrong thing. We can say the wrong thing. And we may try to justify it, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. So we need to make sure that we control ourselves and that we control what comes out of our mouth. And that's what the writer of this book is telling us, you know, be careful. It's good teaching. It's good teaching for every single one of us. And it doesn't matter how old we are. Because sometimes as we get older, we say, "Oh, I don't know. No, we don't. Because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded ever so often, you know, of the do's and don'ts. Because that will keep us in check. I'd rather you guys tell me, "Papa Hernandez, you messed up. And tell me why I messed up." Because I'd rather receive that from you and that you can help me and encourage me, you know, than me to do something that I may not be doing it on purpose, but it might be offending somebody. It might be hurting somebody else. So I stand for correction. I have no problem. I'm too old to be arguing. I'm too old, you know. You know, I would just sit here and I would take it. I would take it as a man. And I'd say, "Okay, all right, thank you for that." And I will thank the Lord for that. Why? Because that keeps me out of trouble in the future, okay? In James 3:6, it says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that is defiles the whole body and sets it on fire, the course of nature, and it is to set on fire by hell." So if we don't control our tongue, if we don't control what comes out of our mouths, we could bring destruction. We could bring destruction. We can destroy different individuals. We can destroy life. And that's also found in Proverbs 18:21 that it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Come on. I know you guys have heard this before, but this is only a reminder, you know, and those who love it will eat its fruit, you know. So our speech, you know, has the capacity to both create and destroy. What we say can create or destroy, to bring about a positive or a negative consequences. That's what our words do, you know, and it will do that in our lives and in the lives of others. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful. I always try to be an encourager. And if something is bothering me, you know, I will think twice before I say it. I will think twice. And I will hope that I can control myself to not to say anything at the moment. Because sometimes at the moment, at the moment that we get upset, you know, that's when a lot of this stuff happens, that we need to control ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, you know, because, you know, God is looking down on us and God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So we can do this. We can make ourselves better. From there, let's jump into verse 10. It says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but the well advice is wisdom. You know, pride could destroy us. Pride could destroy us. I remember back in the day when I had hair and I was in high school, I used to be very prideful and I thought I was it, you know, and a lot of times, you know, they say, it's all about me. It's all about me, you know, and that was not a good thing. That was not a good thing. And the Lord had to knock me down a couple of notches. You know, it gave my attention and told me, no, that's not good. You know, when you look it up in scripture, it says in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a healthy spirit before the fall. So pride can lead to destruction. Pride can lead to destruction. And that's why, you know, it's not a good thing, because we can, on the positive side of pride, yes, you can be proud of your children, you can be proud of what your accomplishments, and that's a good thing, but we cannot let it go to our head. We cannot let it go to our head, you know. And in Proverbs 16:5, it says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Look at that. Anyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will be unpunished. You know, so pride, you know, again, pride of the heart, you know, pride is an abomination to God. An abomination, you know, is regarded as something that the Lord is disgusted about. He hates it, you know, and that's how harsh this word is. So we need to make sure that we do not allow it to take root in our lives. And we remain humble, because the opposite of pride is to be humble, you know. And then when we are humble, we gain more. We gain more when we are humble. When we let things go and say, Lord, you handle this. I'm not gonna get into this, but Lord, you take this, Lord, and surrender it to Him. You know, He is the one that's going to bless us. Now let's jump into verse 20. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So he who walks with wise men, it is important that we put ourselves around wise men, wise women that can help us, that can nourish us. In the same way, we can nourish them, you know, that we can nourish them. You know, in Proverbs 3:13, he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So with wisdom, we gain understanding. And how do we get understanding? It's a process. It's a thing that we gain that as we grow and as we develop. But it's so important that we surround ourselves with wise people. In James 1:5, he says, If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Look how simple it says. It says, let him ask. You know, and I'm one that I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer. You know what I mean? I don't ever claim to be the smartest guy or the fastest guy, but I always learn to just to humble myself, you know, and ask. And ask. It says in James 1:5 says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberty and without reproach, and it will be given to you. So if you ask for wisdom, you will gain wisdom. God will show you. God will teach you through the Holy Spirit. As you open up the word, he will guide you through the scripture, and he will give it to you. In the military, I was in charge of 38 individuals, the guys and girls. And we deployed. We went all over the world. We were in the war zone and all that. And you have all these people. And like I said, I'm there to lead. I'm not there to do certain tasks, even though I already know the task because I've done it as I was developing, as I was growing in that particular job, you know? So I learned all these tasks that these guys know, but I'm no longer the expert, they are. So I surround myself with these individuals when we went out somewhere, when we went away, because we used to go away, it would be me as the head, and I would have like 10 individuals that would go with me. So I had to make sure that I have everything covered. So I have certain guys that were smarter in certain areas, and I had them all. So no matter what comes our way, we were able to handle it. So that's the wisdom. Wisdom is to make sure that we gather those that can help us, that can get the task done. And it's important that we surround ourselves with individuals that are there to help us, that are there to help us. And at the same time, you are there to help them. You are there to help them. Many times, you know, I have given people advice and it's only because the Lord has directed me to speak to them. And many times he has told me, go talk to this person. And I said to myself, I don't really want to do that. But you know what? Along with wisdom, you know, you got to be humble. And along with wisdom, you got to be obedient. You know, so I say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna approach this individual. I'm gonna share what you have given me. And I will go and I will share. And guess what? Normally the individual will just receive it. The individual will be blessed by it because it was done in love. And as long as we do everything in love, you know, we're gonna gain a lot. Because they see your heart. But it's important, again, like this verse says, that, you know, he who walks with wise men, and I'm going to put there wise women, because men are not the only ones that are wise. There are plenty of wise women. My wife is very wise. I better make sure that I listen when she speaks. Okay, I got to make sure I listen when she speaks. Why? Because she's my compass. She has insight that I don't have. And she could tell me things that I may not realize that I'm doing or saying, or a behavior that I may be portraying. And she might say, hey, I think you ought to do this. I think you ought to do that. You know, that comes along with the honey-do list, you know. But you know, it's been done in love. And she would do that in love. And I appreciate her because she's wise in these areas. You know, so together we mesh. Together we mesh really, really well. Really well, and I thank the Lord for her. Okay, one more. It says in verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, for the wealth of the sinners is stored up for righteousness. You know, and there are those that, you know, when you read this, you know, okay, so I have to leave an inheritance for my children. Yes, we can leave an inheritance for our children, our children's children. We can leave them a financial inheritance, and that's always a good thing. But I take it a step even deeper than that. It's more importantly that we leave them something spiritual. We leave them spiritual teachings, you know. So what are we sharing with them? What are we demonstrating to them? What are we showing them? It's good that I leave them an inheritance so they can see that they have a praying father. That they can see that they have a worshiping father. They can see that as a father, I can cry. And I'm a baby crier, okay? I'm a baby crier. So If the presence of the Lord is there, most likely I'm going to have tears. Why? Because my spirit, you know, when it gets jointed up deep with the Lord, when God's presence is in the house, you know, it's touched and I'm blessed. And sometimes you'll put me on my knees, you know, and that's a good inheritance to leave your children, that we can have this relationship with the Lord, you know, and that he is our Lord and he is our Savior, and that we speak life. So not an inheritance that we can leave them is, what kind of life am I living? What an example am I giving? Because if I can live them a positive example, you know, of what God has done in me, and a humble and being humble before people, they themselves will see that that's possible. Why? Because they saw Pop doing it. They saw Pop doing it. They saw Pop going that extra mile. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will never depart from it. Hey, and that's a positive thing. And that goes along in that inheritance thing. If we teach them, if we show them, if we're a good example, when they get older, they do not depart. I have always shared about my grandma, and I have always shared about my titis. Come on now. Many times that they were there when I was younger, and they taught me verses, and they taught me how to pray, and they taught me all these little things, little nuggets that have stayed with me into now that I'm way above my late 60s, okay? Okay, way in my 60s, that I still remember and I still appreciate it. So, you know, the scripture that says to train up a child the way that he should go, when he's older, he will not depart from it. It is a scripture that is true. It is a scripture that is fulfilled, because it has been fulfilled in me, you know, and I have experienced that. So it's good to live in an inheritance for our children by our way of life, you know. The example of our, because we're the best example that they can have, because they see us all the time. They see the good and they see the ugly. Come on now. They see the good and they see the ugly. And even with the ugly, that can be turned into a positive thing by saying, hey, man, my bad, I'm sorry. When they see us apologizing, when they see us, when we make mistakes and know that we can make mistakes and we can acknowledge those mistakes, that is good teaching. That is good teaching to them, that they need to be humble, that they need to stay humble. Well, you know what? Let me stop there, because my time is already running out. But this particular chapter is very good. It has so many other things in here that I could touch on, but these are the ones that really touched me this particular week. One of the things that we have been hearing going through in the Hernandez family is, you guys know, my wife, you know, she was hospitalized last week. We were there until Saturday. Late Saturday, she was discharged from the hospital. We came home. We're still trying to get things back. We had to. It's like hitting a reset button. You know what I mean? Because we started really good, and then all of a sudden we had a hiccup in the road, and you know, and she ended up getting sick, and she ended up having this cough that really bothered her, and that ended up getting her in the hospital. But you know, we came home, and she's still not a little bit. She's still underneath the weather. There's still some medication issues, but we're working it out. We're working out this week. You know, so happened to be our anniversary, and me and her were talking. And we talked about, and we always think about what happened before. And last year at this particular time, she was in the hospital and our anniversary. So this is the second year in a row that we've been involved in a hospital or getting out of the hospital during our anniversary. So that was like a, oh, come on, man, you know what's going on. But the most important thing is that we were together. That's the most important thing. So, you know, so we celebrated our anniversary, you know, been together, you know, 47 years, you know, and it's only gets better from here. It's only going to get better. I keep saying it's only going to get better from here. You know, we're still working on the issue of getting her to the beach. And that's one of the things. I like to set up a goal. I like to set up a vision I like to speak out the vision. I like to declare a vision, and I like to pray about it, and I like to present it to the Lord, because God knows what he's doing and God will make a way. So I'm planting the seed. I'm putting it out there of us going to the beach this summer. Okay, that's my goal. That's my desire. That's my dream. That's my vision. And it's going to happen one way or another. We're going to end up in the beach, you know, because if you don't have faith, then what else is there? So you got to believe. You got to believe, and you got to speak it over yourself. You got to speak it over your family. Thank you for that. Thank you for the happy anniversary. I appreciate that. And it's all about God. God has kept us together. God has molded us together. He says, you know, when we go to the altar, we say in sickness and in health, you know what I mean? So that's with the good, that's with the bad, and that's with the ugly. That's with everything in between. But God can keep us together. God has made a way. He's making a way. And I am so grateful for the wife that he has given me. I'm giving her props. She's asleep right now. She doesn't know I'm talking about her, you know, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, but you know, she's my childhood sweetheart. You know, we went out 4 years of high school, you know, since I was a freshman. We've been dating, and you know, and we've now, and now with you know, celebrating, you know, 47. So you add, she always adds the 5 to it. You know what I mean? No, we've been together, not 40. No, it's not 47. Is it 47, 48, 49, 50, 51? No, we've been together 52 years. That's what she always says. But you know what? It is by the grace of God. It is by the mercy of God that, you know, that we are together and we go and we're on this journey together. So we laugh together. We cry together. You know, we do everything together. And that's what it's all about. Anyway, enough for me and my wife. You know, I like sharing with you guys because I know you guys, you know, are concerned. I know you guys are praying and lifting us up. And I receive those prayers all the time. And I say, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that I have a family, not just my physical family, but also my spiritual family. And all you guys out there that see me every week, that you are lifting up prayers. And I feel them. And I am grateful. And I am thankful. Okay, enough of that. Let me move on because my time is already up. See, 6:30 on the dot, on the dot. Okay, let's not forget that, you know, what's happening this particular weekend. The Love for the House, you know, is taking place. You know, a lot of people are going to be busy. Let's get busy. Cumberland County is having a men's breakfast on tomorrow morning. You know, see if you are available, you know, check us out. And for the breakfast. And again, I just want to thank you guys for being so good to me. Thank you guys for praying for me. Thank you guys for always being here with us together as we share the word of God. Again, God is so good. God is merciful. God is on the move. And we're going to get there. Keep that prayer that I have said in your prayers, you know, for this summer that we're gonna hit the beach one of these days. And then you guys will be surprised when I show you some pictures. But that's my prayer. That's my prayer. And so, again, we're not out of the woods yet. We still have a lot of more things that we got to do for her health-wise and everything else. But we have a game. We have a game plan. God is in control. He is guiding us the way. He has given us favor with everyone that we come in contact with, every nurse, every doctor, every attendant, every technician. We have no complaints about the services that we get. Why? Because God always gives us that favor. I'm blown out of the water by it because, you know, my wife always says, they treat me like gold. They treat me. They don't know where to put me sometimes. And I say, because you got the favor of the Lord. You know, you're going through a storm and God's just giving you favor as you go through the storm. And that's something, God gives you favor as you go through the storm. So if you're going through anything today, if you're going through anything this week, you know, just allow God to touch that area. Allow God to say, Lord, here it is. Lord, you help me because I can't do this. You know, I've done that many times and I'm still doing it. I can't do this, Lord, without you. And guess what? He makes a way for you. So please keep your focus. Keep your focus. The best is yet to come. Come on. The best is yet to come. Time for celebration. Oh, worship night. That was the other thing that was in the back of my mind. This Sunday, they're going to have worship in both places. You know, so EHT here and here in Cumberland County, there's going to be worship. So come out. Come out. Come out and have a good time in the Lord and just go crazy and dance before him. Come on. I'm going to be out there. I mean, I look so good, but I'll be out there. You may not like my moves, but it's not about you. It's about me and the Lord, you know. And me and the Lord, you know, we just do our own thing. I go in a corner and I do my own thing, you know. But it's all about worship. It's all about giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor. So let's get into it. Let's go and have a good time in the Lord. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. I ask your blessings upon them, Father. Meet them where they're at, Father God. I pray, Father, if there's any lack, Father God, I pray that you would just meet that need. Health-wise, Father God, just touch them from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, my Lord God. I declare and decree life to them, Father. Healing, restoration, joy, and peace, and comfort, Father God. You are their source, Father God. You are what they need, Father. So I pray that you will meet their needs just exactly where they're at. Thank you for their homes, their families, Father God. Thank you for what you're doing in our community and our churches, Father. Thank you for our pastors, Father God. Bless them, keep them, and guide them, oh Lord God. Thank you for this day, Father. And thank you, Father, for loving us, Father God, when we didn't deserve to be loved. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, all right, all right. Stretch a little bit. And here's my hug for you guys. We'll see each other soon. Please, please keep your focus. Love you.